Chaksa Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manuvishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Hare Krishna. We are coming close to the end of the morning session, which has turned into the afternoon session, which is almost turned into the night evening session and will turn into the night session. And I'm very, heartened by the outpourings of devotion from all of you. The devotion is meant ultimately for Krishna, but Krishna also manifests himself in different forms. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the example that when Krishna wants, when a person wants to pick up something, he extends his hand down. And so when Krishna wants to pick up the fallen souls, he extends his hand in the form of the spiritual master, the Vaishnavas. And we have been picked up. Krishna has extended his hand to pick us up through Srila Prabhupada and other members of Srila Prabhupada's family or the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And we also want to extend ourselves to help others, to take them by their hand and have them accompany us. When I was listening to my godbrothers speak, I was filled with so many memories of our service to Srila Prabhupada. And as many of them mentioned, our service to Srila Gurudev, to Malkrishna Goswami, in service to Srila Prabhupada. There's so many opportunities Srila Prabhupada gave us to render service. He had such a huge vision to make everyone in the universe Krishna conscious, and he was kind enough to engage us and give us that instruction that your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate. So cooperation is so important. The word itself, ko, means like together, and operate, operate together. And Srila Prabhupada's instructions were deceptively simple. Just chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, and work cooperatively to spread Krishna consciousness. And you'll go back home, back to Godhead. But working cooperatively requires great purity. It demands that we be free from false ego. Otherwise, there will be envy, jealousy, rivalry, politics, diplomacy, so many things. But I have found in the association of my God brothers two factors that have been very helpful to me. One is chanting and hearing about Krishna together. Actually, His Holiness Ratutvaja Swami and I discovered that when we chanted together, our japa was better. And then when we went to visit Guru Bhakti Mataji when she was sick and chanted with her, it was still better because she was also serious about her japa. And then over the summer, when Ratutvaja Swami and I were together, sometimes another God brother would join us, and chanting together, the three of us, was still better. And you could feel it. One day, Ratutvaja Swami and I were chanting japa, and it was expected that His Holiness Giridhari Swami would join us, and then there was like a chair for him. We had our three chairs, and when he sat down, we could just feel the difference. And then yesterday, the four of us chanted japa together. So the addition of each God brother increased the experience of the chanting, because they're focused. That's the main thing. I mean, you could be chanting and someone could come in and your japa could get worse. But because of, their purity and their determination and their taste, uplifted the experience for all of us. And the other benefit I've gotten, I mean, to put it in those terms, is their example of dedication to the mission of Srila Prabhupada, Guru and Gauranga, and their selfless mood, their lack of envy and diplomacy, and it's just really enlivening to see their genuine concern for the mission and for the devotees within the movement, and their care for people who are not yet devotees, that they should get the chance. And every evening we've been meeting and speaking in the temple room and having kirtan. And every evening there's been a new highlight. I mean, there are many highlights, and I guess different devotees could experience different highlights. But for me, the first night, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day was the kirtan led by His Holiness Keshava Bharati Das Goswami. Just the way he led the kirtan, so absorbed in the holy name, so relishing, and including others, just bringing others and reciprocating with them in the kirtan. That was like such a highlight. And then the next night, Srila Haridas Thakur's disappearance day, well, the highlight was the devotees dancing in the kirtan. His Holiness Giridhari Swami began and Rukmini Priya continued, and it was like all barriers were dissolved, you know, false egos all dissolved, and everyone was just running back and forth dancing or holding hands in circles and dancing. Rasikendra Prabhu and Tamal Priya, they're like holding hands, going back and forth, and in the presence of the deities, beautiful deities. And then the third night, for me, the highlight came when the deities opened. That was Vishwarupa Mahotsav, the day on which Srila Prabhupada took sannyas. And there were many newer people, Western people. And when the curtains opened, like different older devotees would came forward with new people. And I could just see them like talking to them and explaining. It was just so encouraging to see these new people being introduced. And there was even one Hispanic man and a youngster, maybe even his daughter, or I don't know, a younger girl, also, you know, not from the temple community. She was like explaining to him, and I could see he's like looking at the deities and listening so carefully and seriously to what she was saying. And, you know, even though she was maybe 10 or 12, but she was very enthusiastic to share with him what she knew. And he was very interested to learn from her. And then last night, I wouldn't exactly call it a highlight, but maybe it was more of an instruction. But the way the kirtan was set up, there was a sheet or some sort of spread, carpet, and so Giridhari Swami and you know, Rukmini Priya and the other musicians were on the carpet. And then there was a chair near it where I sat. And, you know, I was relishing the kirtan and looking at the deities, but somehow the way I was positioned, when I looked at Gaur Nitai, all I saw was their hands, their right hands. So I tried to reconcile it in my mind, and like they're absolute and they can perform the functions of all the senses with one sense, and seeing their arm is the same as seeing their eyes or their feet or any other part. And then Radha Nila Madhava, it was better, but a little bit of Radharani's left side was blocked. And so I was thinking, you know, trying to accept it, but not being fully satisfied. So I turned the sheet over a little, moved the chair a little, got a little better. And then I thought, you know, it's funny how this went. I thought, I should actually be sitting right next to Giridhari Swami, because I know, like, when we chant Japa, if I'm sitting right next to him, it's better. I shouldn't worry about the carpet. I shouldn't worry. I just sit next to him. So I just moved the chair right next to him. And then when I looked at the deities, it's like there was like full darshan of Gornitai, full darshan of Radha Nila Madhava, full darshan of Giri Govardhan. And I thought, this is a lesson. This is an instruction. That when we stay close to an advanced devotee, or, you know, close to a god brother, a dear god brother, everything comes into focus, everything comes into perspective, the whole spiritual world is revealed in its full splendor and glory. So being with them and seeing their purity and their intelligence, that's very instructive. And then when the other devotees began to give their offerings, beginning with Guru Bhakti Mataji, and Janak Maharaj, and who was that? Oh, yes, Mother Chandravali. It was the first one, yes. I felt, you know, this is really what I had in mind when I came here. You know, this is really my purpose when I came here, which was to support Tamal Krishna Goswami's disciples. To my mind, anything beyond that was incidental. It just happened. And I felt very gratified, because that was really my purpose. And at the time, now the mood is a little different, but at the time when they were speaking, I was thinking of the interview I conducted with Ekavira and Vrajalila, who took care of Bhakti Tirtha Swami in his last year. And at a certain stage, Tamal Krishna Goswami came to Bhakti Tirtha Swami and said that Srila Prabhupada was calling him. I mean, what does it mean he came to him? I mean, whatever, in a dream or whatever, that Srila Prabhupada sent Tamal Krishna Goswami to inform Bhakti Tirtha Swami that Srila Prabhupada said that he can come now. And are you ready? And then Tamal Krishna Goswami began to weep very, very very strong emotion. And Bhakti Tirtha Swami asked him, "Why are you weeping?" And Tamalakrishna Goswami said, "I know how much my disciples have suffered after my departure, and I know that yours will suffer in the same way." So then he asked, "Are you ready?" And Bhakti Tirtha Swami said, "No, I want some more time with my disciples and the other devotees to prepare them." So, anyway, it's a very mysterious process. It's certainly a very mysterious process. How Krishna reveals himself or manifests himself as Guru. And Srila Prabhupada said every Vaishnav, genuine Vaishnav, is a Guru. And how we cooperate to help each other. And that we can help in different relationships. I have on occasion emphasized the importance of peers, because when you're in a superior position, you have to be on good behavior because you have to set the example. And when you're before a superior, you have to be on good behavior because you want to please him or her by your activities. But it's really with peers that you can open up and express doubts and questions that you might not do with someone who's a spiritual dependent. And you might not even do with someone who's a much higher authority. I mean, we wouldn't, with Srila Prabhupada, we wouldn't like dump things on him. You know, he wasn't meant for that. So that is, that type of relationship is very important, and it's been wonderful for the four of us to be together, and we were talking in the last couple of days that we should plan to come every year, the four of us. And spend 1 week in Houston and 1 week in that other temple. So yes, but it's also important that to extend ourselves to juniors or to new people. His Holiness Keshava Bharti Maharaj told the beautiful story of his experience with the family in Jaipur. Very big family, I mean, wealthy family, and how when they had children, you know, babies, and they were starting to grow up. Whenever that child would come into the room, no matter how busy they were, they would just drop everything and hold the child, play with the child. And also, no matter what they were doing, if the children happened to wander in, they would also stop whatever they were doing. So he was making the point that with new people, we really should be like that. You know, just stop whatever we're doing to nurture them in Krishna consciousness. And I was also gratified by the quality of some of the talks. Devotees who in the past couldn't speak without having something written out, they were speaking without anything. And yes, the quality of their realizations it was very encouraging, and you know I felt they're maturing, they're progressing, they're advancing. So that was also very encouraging. And then I wouldn't call them children in the sense they're not like little children, but children in the sense that they were born as children of the next generation of disciples, how they're also somehow or other holding on to Krishna consciousness and, you know, trying to keep that thread in their life and make it a greater and greater part of their life. And hearing some of the talks of the devotees describing how they saw things when they were younger, 7 years old, what they were seeing, what they were thinking, what they're experiencing. It just highlights the point that we have to be, you know, very conscious of everyone and very careful to encourage everyone. Once I asked His Holiness Indradumya Swami, because he's very, affectionate to everyone, but he encourages children a lot. And I asked him, you know, why do you do that? Is there some history to it or some realization behind it? So he told a story that when he was 8 years old, 10 years old, his father did advertising or publicity for the the San Francisco 49ers football team. And their quarterback is a very famous, all-star quarterback. Y.A. Tittle. So his father asked Indradumya Swami, what would you like for your birthday? And he said, I want to meet Y.A. Tittle. So, because his father, you know, had that relationship with the team, he was able to arrange it. So before the game began, before kickoff, his father introduced him to Y.A. Tittle, who was like a huge man. I mean, he got down on his knees, because Indradumya Swami was just like a little boy then. He got down on his knees so that his face was at the same level as Indradumya Swami's face. And you know, he spoke to him, you know, very, you know, he took it very seriously, this talk that he had with Maharaj. And he gave him some good advice that in life, you will have many friends who will not be doing the right things, who won't be doing the best things. But you shouldn't follow what they do. But you should do what you know is the right thing, and don't just follow them. And it was time for kickoff. It was time for the game to begin. And Y.A. Tittle was still talking to him. So the referee came over. You know, the guys who blow the whistles. He came over and he said, "Mr. Tittle, it's time for the game to begin. Everyone is waiting." But he still didn't leave Maharaj. You know, he still kept talking with him. And Maharaj said that had such an effect on him that this big all-star quarterback was considered his talk with Maharaj so important that he was ready to make the game wait, you know. And he said those words stayed with him. Because in high school, you know, many of his friends, they started drinking and whatever they were doing. And Maharaj said he'd always think of what Y.A. Tittle said to him about not just going along with your friends, but doing what you know is the right thing. And that gave him the strength to withstand those social pressures and temptations. So he said that knowing what effect that brief meeting had, a genuine exchange with Y.A. Tittle had on him, he thinks the same could be true of any young person that he meets. That if he just spends even 5 minutes with them, it could affect them for their whole life. And other devotees, or Tathagata Swami, he says the same thing. So I think hearing that group of devotees speak made me realize how, well, as Prabhupada said, every soul is important in Krishna consciousness, and even the ones, not even, but especially, or including the ones in younger bodies. So, I know that I'm not worthy of many of the words that were spoken about me. But because they came from you, from Vaishnavas, they cannot go in vain, or they should not go in vain. So I'm taking it like only time is separating. So I'll try to you know, work towards making what you said about me true, or somewhat true at least. But we are a family. We can feel it. A family is important. I've thought of that basically people want love. I mean, that's like the prime motivation in most people's lives. They want love. And if they get that love with Krishna consciousness, then their life becomes perfect. And if we give them Krishna consciousness, but without love, although they want Krishna consciousness, but that need for love is so great that they could leave Krishna consciousness to get that love if they feel that they're not getting it in Krishna consciousness. So we want to give both. And give means it's there in all of us. We want to express it. And then people who want Krishna consciousness will be able to stay because they'll get the love that they want. And it can even happen that people who aren't looking for Krishna consciousness so much but are looking more for love, if they get the love, then they'll also get Krishna consciousness. So that mood is very prominent here. Right now we can feel it. And yeah, we pray and want to work towards that goal of having that mood, you know, within our hearts and expressing it in our words and in our actions, and doing it together, cooperatively. I remember the first time I invited Indradumya Swami to South Africa. You know, because I was thinking, well, we're like two sannyasis, like maybe we should divide up, you know, so different places get our association at the same time. And, you know, he quoted Srila Prabhupada as saying that something like when two sannyasis get together, the ecstasy is multiplied. And so now there's four. So it's, yeah, sometimes it's like that, you know. So one will be in Houston, one or two will be in Houston for Radhastami, one will be in San Antonio for Radhastami, one will be in Dallas for Radhastami. But then sometimes it's nice, like, for all to be together. So we'll try to balance that. Yeah. So thank you for coming and encouraging us and supporting us. I guess I'll just conclude with one of my favorite statements by Srila Prabhupada. It was a sentence or two that he wrote to one disciple. And I don't know what the disciple wrote him, but it appears he must have written something like, you know, I'm depending on your mercy. And Srila Prabhupada wrote back, you are dependent on my mercy, and I am dependent on your mercy. It is reciprocal. This mutual dependence is based on love, Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.
Swami Maharaj
Put your money where your mouth is. No, you do.